the day in which we live. Everyone's kind of measured by how quickly they can get there. And I feel I'm having to say more and more to everyone, that's not how God rolls. There is no clock. It's not about when you get there, it's that you get there. I've been waiting to get married for 23 years. Don't lower the bar. I've been waiting to do X, Y, and Z. And I could do it now if I wanted to. Don't, if he's not opening the door. I want you to hear something. I feel like the Lord is saying to you, if you will refuse to act on what you're wanting to do, you will see me do what I've been desiring to do since before the beginning of time, through you. I want to bring you up to speed. We're jumping out of our series, and I'll give you a little bit of background why. Been a wild 24 hours, and I'll bring you into it just a little bit. So my plan all week this week, and really since before we started the series, this weekend, the message was meant to be the Holy Spirit is friend. And so I had to fly to Dallas, then to Atlanta this week to do some filming. And so I had plenty of time on the airplane to be just pouring through passages and studying. And this week, probably spent, counting yesterday, 14 hours yesterday, about 26 hours on the message for this weekend. And a wild thing happened yesterday when I got to my office early yesterday morning. I couldn't hear the Lord say one word. And so, I've been at this for about 25 years now. And so I start kind of going through, okay, is there hidden sin? Something I'm overlooking. I start going through, is there an idol? Like I am going through like every potential cobweb in my life and nothing. I was like, okay, clearly this is not the message for this weekend. So I started literally between 18 and 20 different messages yesterday. In a 14-hour period, nothing. I went through literally probably between 80 and 100 old messages to see if there was just something the Lord wanted to say. No, 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 no. Here's one of the things you need to understand about this job. My job isn't to make something up. And I know you probably don't care, but I'm giving you context. The last year and a half for me outside of here has been a very wild ride, and it's probably just kind of the beginning, and it's been very disorienting. And I didn't realize, so I've told the story before that when I was like 22, 23 years old, I went through a 9-month period where I didn't hear the Lord's voice one time. And it created something in me where my biggest fear in life isn't what you might think of me. It isn't losing everything. My biggest fear in life, the Lord reminded me this morning, is not being able to hear his voice. And so yesterday I freaked out a little bit. I kept saying to Holly, something is off. I just don't understand. I feel like we've been dialed in. It's been a hot streak the last month. Like, I don't know what's going on, but he's not saying anything, nothing. It's like the cloud moved, and every street I go down to try and get a word, the road is closed and I have to turn. Maybe it's this. No, no. 14 hours yesterday. So after last night, you're going to see what we do. We're going to spend some time praying today. As soon as I walked off the stage, I went right back to my office until about 10:30 last night and kept digging. And at about 10 o'clock, I felt the Lord go, Preston, when it is fruitless to struggle, it's wisdom to just yield. And so I went home and went to bed and just trusted. And I woke up this morning and the Lord started speaking a lot. One of the things he said was, Preston, when I took you through this for 9 months, over 20 years ago, it was correction. It was discipline. But yesterday wasn't correction. It was protection. I'm protecting you from yourself. You don't even realize how much pressure you're starting to feel. And then he goes, Preston, the bulk of our time spent together these days is spent with you asking me what to say somewhere or to someone. And you're prioritizing what I will say to them more than you're prioritizing what I want to say to you. One of the questions I've asked for years is, Lord, how do you not lose yourself whenever you come out of fighting, whenever God brings you out of fighting? How do you not lose yourself? How do you not fall? And this morning I felt the Lord say, Preston, it's weekends like this. And then very clearly I felt the Lord say, you are not a Pez dispenser of one-liners. But you're feeling the pressure and you don't even realize it. And he goes, what good is hearing me for them if you can't hear me about you? Preston, I'm protecting you. What's happening is just the beginning. And there was a message I found yesterday as I was pouring through old messages that I knew if I preached that message, nobody would know what was going on. It would be a fire burner. God's hand is on it. And I felt like it was a little bit of a test. Would I stand in front of you and say something awesome that I knew he wasn't saying? Last night, what we did in the service is a time of prayer, because the only thing I felt I heard the Lord say yesterday was the word wait, W-E-I-G-H-T. And today, it's Communion Sunday. And I felt the Lord just give me a picture. And he said, Preston, what kind of a friend would I be if I had my friends around a table and I could look into their eyes and see they were carrying the weight of the world? What kind of a friend would I be if I stuck to my script and didn't hit the pause button and address the weight they were carrying? Preston, my children are carrying a measure of weight. And I'd like just to stop everything, to be in the room and to do what I do. And then I just, the most calibrating thing when I came out of my prayer room yesterday, and I was just laboring, feeling like something was wrong. I have in my prayer room a bunch of different objects that remind me of certain things, and one of them is a walking stick. And it reminds me that it wasn't Moses that parted the Red Sea. He just held up the stick. And my prayer room is pitch black, and so I get disoriented spatially sometimes when I spend a decent amount of time in there. And I got up and I bumped the stick and it made a noise, and I just felt the Lord go, huh. It's like I couldn't hear a word all day yesterday. I just heard a sound, huh. And it spoke so much. I know you don't care and it's not about me, but I am a contextual human being. You don't come here to hear my voice. You come to be in a room where God does whatever he wants to do. And it doesn't matter if people are flying in on the weekends, more weekends than not now. And I didn't even realize the pressure I was starting to feel. I'm at my best when I'm not thinking about this room or that room out there, but a very tiny room back here that is much more than a closet to me. So what we're going to do today is we're going to stop everything. And if you're feeling a measure of weight, and I felt like the Lord laid out several different areas where people are carrying weight, and we're just going to have a time of prophetic prayer. That's what we did last night. And Holly said to me at about 10, she texted me, because I told her, hey, don't be texting me, asking me when I'm going to be home. I'm willing to just keep fighting this out until it breaks. And if I have to spend the night in my prayer room, that's what I'm going to do. And she said around 10, she goes, hey, if you don't feel the Lord giving you a different direction for tomorrow, it's probably wise to trust that what he did tonight is what he wants to do in the morning. And so this morning, the Lord reminded me. Remember how the first century church exploded? Acts 2 tells us verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Sometimes we put extra emphasis on that because it's first in the list. But do you remember the rest of the list? Do you remember what's at the end of the list? Fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. Last night when Holly said, if you don't feel the Lord give you a new direction, maybe you should trust that what he did tonight is what he wants to do tomorrow. And here, I didn't even realize what I was kind of saying. I kind of in my heart went, okay, well, if that's true, then I'll just pray. That word just is a very dangerous word. And this morning I felt the Lord go, hey, let's get one thing straight. It's never you just pray. It's always you must pray. So I know most of you probably don't give one flying flip about what I'm saying, but I need you to hear this. Your life does not come down to what you do. It comes down to the one you walk with. And there are gonna be moments in your life where you step into new seasons and you stand before the Red Sea, or you stand before a rock that needs to produce water. And God told you how to make water come out of the rock. But without realizing it, you're gonna be tempted to do something God didn't ask you to do to make water come out of the rock. And you have to remember, it's not worth it. It's not worth it just to come up with something. So, let's walk through a list together, and we're gonna spend some time praying, and then we're gonna take communion together, all right? And if you're joining us online, I know sometimes it's like, well, if we're not preaching, no. Sometimes prayer is the most powerful form of preaching. So don't think that the preacher's number one job is to preach. The preacher's number one job is to pray and to be obedient what he hears the Lord asking in prayer. It's so funny. I have hundreds and hundreds of messages that I went through yesterday, and all of them were a no. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus makes a really strong statement. He says, let all who are weary and heavy laden or weighed down with burdens come to me, and I will give you rest. What I believe God wants to do this weekend, during our time of prophetic prayer and communal prayer, we're gonna pray over one another. I'm not gonna make you pray with one another, but we are gonna pray over those who do feel heavy weights related to a couple of areas in life. I believe that the God of the universe wants to make a divine swap today. Your weight for his peace, your weight for his joy, your weight for his ways, your weight for his rest. We're not superheroes, we're humans. Just remember that. The goal of your life is not to prove how strong you are. The goal of your life is to bring glory to God, and sometimes that happens in your weakness far more than it does your strength. So the first weight I felt like the Lord kind of put on the radar that he wants to do something about this weekend is the weight of worry. How many would say right now in this present season of life, you are feeling a heavy weight of worry? Would you just put your hand up? Okay. Would it be all right with you if God traded your worry, if you would let go of it, for his peace? The opposite of worry is peace. Now, we're gonna do a little something that is a little bit different. We've done this from time to time. That's probably been a while. But if you just raised your hand, I'm gonna ask you to stand up because we're gonna pray over you. And this is what family does. Nobody cares who stands up. Nobody's judging. This isn't that kind of a family. Don't worry, I'm not gonna embarrass you. We're gonna pray over you, all right? So don't, oh, I raise my hand, but I'm not standing up. No, stand up. We all need prayer. If you raise your hand, just stand up. See, worry is what the devil does with people who do not know the end from the beginning, before the outcome becomes clear. But worry doesn't come from the Lord. It comes from his enemy. Jesus even said, can your worries add one thing to your life? Look at the flowers in the field. Look how God cares for them. Do you not think that you're not more valuable to the Lord than the flowers in the field? If you're standing, I want all of us just to close our eyes for a moment. I want us just to give the Spirit of God a moment to move and to speak. And if you're standing right now, I want you right there with your eyes closed just to put out your hands to receive. One part, letting go. You can't drive the car with open hands. We white knuckle and worry. But we open our hands with trust in peace. Our trust isn't in peace, but we do so with trust as we live in the peace of God. Whatever you're worrying about, let it go. Here's what I feel like the Lord is promising you. If every time you're worried about something, if you'll pray about it, I'll swap your worry for my peace. That's Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing. If you're seated, I want you just to open your eyes. For those of you who are standing, just keep your eyes closed. If you're seated, I want you to find someone around you who's standing, and we're going to pray over them right now. If you're close enough, just extend your hand, put your hand on their shoulder. You can get up if you want. Prayer is one of the most powerful things we do. Begin to just pray over everyone standing. And if you can't get to them, just extend your hand and begin praying over them. Spirit of the living God, I pray you would administer a measure of peace from the Prince of Peace that would be beyond anything their minds could wrap itself around. God, I pray that whatever is troubling them, Holy Spirit, you don't need to do it with words. You can just come in power. You can come upon them right now. The Comforter. You can slow their heart rate down. You can slow the thoughts of their minds down. Holy Spirit, would you remove right now the weight of worry? The one who is seated on the throne is on the case and on the move. It's going to be okay. Lord, I come against every scheme of the enemy to scare them with worry. Holy Spirit, I pray you would comfort them with peace. Like a warm blanket, would you just surround them? I pray for rest. And God, I pray, whatever they're worrying about, you would render them speechless by whatever they see you do next. In it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, here's the second weight. It's the weight of waiting. Anybody feel like they're in a waiting season right now? And it's just, especially if you feel a little frustrated with the waiting season right now. Okay. If you raise your hand, go ahead and stand up. One of the tests in a season of waiting is whether or not you'll take matters into your own hands. And that's what the flesh always wants to do, is to speed up the clock. The day in which we live, everyone's kind of measured by how quickly they can get there. And I feel I'm having to say more and more to everyone, that's not how God rolls. There is no clock. It's not about when you get there, it's that you get there. Yet that's not the way the world rolls. Anybody else? Two verses I felt like the Lord put on the radar for this. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25. I know all of you in your quiet time this morning were in Lamentations, so you probably already read this today. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. Another promise, Isaiah 64, verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you who acts for the one who waits for him. Before we pray, I want you to hear something I feel like the Lord is saying to you. If you will refuse to act on what you're wanting to do, you will see me do what I've been desiring to do since before the beginning of time, through you. So don't. I've been waiting to get married for 23 years. Don't lower the bar. I've been waiting to do X, Y, and Z. And I could do it now if I wanted to. Don't. If he's not opening the door. If you see someone standing around you, I want you to make your way around them and just lay your hands on them, and we're going to pray over our brothers and sisters who are carrying the weight of waiting, especially for those who are highly frustrated with the Lord in this waiting season, which is totally normal. And if you're seated, just extend your hand towards someone, towards several different people. Let's let the Holy Spirit just move among us. Holy Spirit, I pray right now over every person who said they are carrying the weight of waiting. God, I pray that you would not only give them courage to keep waiting, but I pray you would give them an anointing to wait. You didn't just make Moses wait 40 years in Pharaoh's palace. You made him wait another 40 years in Midian so that he was fully prepared to be your man in that 80th year. God, I pray no matter how long it takes for them to wait, that A, it would be worth it. God, would you reveal yourself in the waiting room in a way they have never seen you or never will see you in the main room. God, would you remind every one of us the point of life isn't the room we're in, it's the one in every room. Holy Spirit, would you encourage my brothers and sisters whom the enemy has gotten to a point of discouragement because it's taking longer than they expected. We break and sever every word, curse, and spell spoken over them in Jesus' name. We come against every demonic attack in Jesus' name. We say to every enemy of God picking on them, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Lord, I pray for an anointing to prepare, an anointing to be faithful in the field they are waiting in. Jesus, would you come under the yoke of waiting and carry the weight with them while they wait? God, may they see a side of you in this field they've never seen before. And help them not to idolize what's on the other side of hiding. But may they store up a reservoir of heaven's oil that will be needed whenever it's time to leave the field of waiting. Holy Spirit, from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet, would you anoint them with heaven's oil? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Anybody ever get ticked with the Lord for waiting? Just let's just be honest. Anybody ever been frustrated with the Lord? Some of his best work is done in the field of waiting while no one's watching, so don't fight it. Okay, here's the third area of wait that I felt the Lord wanted to do something about. It's for people carrying the weight of someone they love. And the picture I got was whether it was someone they love who has a sickness or someone they love who's running from the Lord. And I'm not going to give an exhaustive list, but very clearly just felt the Lord saying, I want to lighten the load of those who are carrying a load on behalf of someone else. The Bible calls someone like this an intercessor. I'll give you a definition for that really big word. An intercessor is a person who intervenes on behalf of another, especially by prayer. As an intercessor, you receive a burden from the Lord for someone, but then in prayer, you give it back to him. But here's what we can do as humans. Sometimes the longer we carry a burden for someone we love, the more pressure we can feel to do something about their problem. And their problem becomes our problem. When that's not what the Lord was asking you to do. He was giving you a burden for the person to cover the person in prayer until there was breakthrough. So if you are carrying the weight of someone you love, no matter what the burden is related to, would you just stand? Okay, here's one of the things we're doing this weekend. We're interceding for those who are standing. We're coming alongside. An intercessor is one who comes alongside, like the Holy Spirit, a paraclete. We come alongside. He is the paraclete. But we're going to intercede for those who are interceding for someone else. And how many of you who are seated have ever carried a heavy burden for someone you love before? Then you know what it's like. Sometimes it's even heavier than carrying a burden related to yourself. So if you have someone around you that's standing right now, I want you just to, if you can, get your hand on their shoulder. If you can't, just extend your hand towards them and let's take a couple of moments and let's pray over our brothers and sisters. This is what the church does. We pray. We're willing to stop everything. look into the eyes of our brothers and sisters and say, I see the weight you're carrying. Let's stop everything and pray about it right now. Just begin to pray over them right now. The only thing heavier than carrying your own weight is carrying somebody else's. Pray strength. Holy Spirit, I pray right now for every person who stood on behalf of another. God, would you remind them it's not their job to part the waters of the sea for that person. The weight is not on them to perform the miracle. You are the miracle working God. But you've given these people a burden to stand in the gap and in prayer for another. Holy Spirit, would you give them a new measure of divine strength? Those who are carrying the weight of an in-law in old age, those who are carrying the weight of a prodigal teen running in the opposite direction of God, those who are carrying the weight of a grandchild diagnosed with a sickness, whatever the weight the one they love is carrying, Spirit of the living God, you are the one with all power. Would you divinely empower every person standing on behalf of another with a new measure of strength to stand beneath the load? God, you are using this weight to strengthen them. Holy Spirit, would you be so present with them, in them, and upon them that they feel more of your power than ever before. God, thank you for the sweet hearts of those willing to carry the load of one they love. God, would you protect their sweet hearts? Would you not let them become bitter for having to carry the load? We all need the help of those who love us. Holy Spirit, would you divinely enable them to walk in even more grace as they carry even more weight? And now, Lord, we pray for breakthrough. Let's just begin to pray for breakthrough in the lives of every person being represented by someone standing on their behalf. He is the God who breaks through. Let's pray for breakthrough. Let's pray for salvation. Let's pray for healing. Spirit of the living God, you are the God, David said, you are the God who bursts through. God, I pray you would break through every wall the enemy has constructed. Would you move mountains? Would you heal cancers? Would you bring light into the dark places? For those who are chasing a measure of demonic spirituality, God, I pray the light of life would invade their space right now. God, we will not look at the size of Goliath that is fighting the one we love. We look to our God who makes Goliath look like a grasshopper. So we declare our God is seated on the throne and he is the sovereign one. He is the one with all power. He is the God who breaks through. So God, for those who are carrying the weight of one they love, may you speak to their hearts. Breakthrough is coming. Because the God who breaks through is on the scene. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can see how when the church prays, why the first century church exploded the way that it did. You know what I'm saying? Okay, I have a little bit more time. I was gonna go right on to communion, but there was one more weight and I just wanna cover this real quick. And it might not be many people, but it's a heavy load, okay? The fourth weight that I felt like the Lord put on the radar was the weight of wrestling. Remember, there are two types of wrestling. Jacob wrestled with God over something Jacob wanted from God. But Jonah wrestled with God over something God wanted from Jonah. And that was the burden I felt like the Lord put on my heart, was the wait for people. And remember, Jonah gets a bad rap, like he's some bad guy. Listen, we've all wrestled with what God is asking us to do. Jesus wrestled in Gethsemane. Okay? Let's not indemnify, let's not vilify those who wrestle. I know it's going to take a little bit of courage, but if you are wrestling over something God is asking you to do, listen, I just came out of a 2.5 year long season of wrestling with God over something I knew he was asking me to do. Is there anyone presently wrestling with the Lord over something he is asking of you or from you? Would you just stand? I know it's hard to stand. Nobody's calling you Jonah. I did it for 2.5 years. Anybody else before we pray? Because this can be an exhausting wrestling match. When you know God's asking for something, but you're a little bit freaked out about what will happen when you give it to him. You're freaked out about what it's going to cost you. You're freaked out if it's going to cost everything. I get it. It's okay. Anybody else? So proud of you. Here's what I say. If you're not wrestling with Jesus over something Jesus is asking of you, I don't know that you can fully say you're following Jesus. It's part of what carrying the cross looks like. If we're really carrying the cross like Jesus said we must, you're going to wander your way through Gethsemane every once in a while. Anybody else? Because we're going to pray over you. All right. If you got somebody around you, let's pray. Just if they're close, lay a hand on their shoulder. If they're not, just extend a hand. Now let's just pray before we take communion together. Spirit of the living God, thank you. Thank you for being so present. Thank you for being the God who asks for hard things. Thank you for being the God who says, I desire obedience more than sacrifice. But one of the most excruciating things in life is obedient sacrifice. Spirit of the living God, I pray for an anointing to lay things at your feet. God, I pray the dam would break. Whatever you're asking them for, God, as they lay it at your feet, I pray the dam would break. Holy Spirit, would you come upon every single one of them? The enemy is fighting them, attacking them, trying to convince them to hold on to what you're asking for from them. Holy Spirit, would you come upon every one of them? Lord, I pray this would be the beginning of an entirely new season that would be ushered in by this overwhelmingly obedient sacrifice. I pray they would see heaven open up over them, not with more stuff, not with more earthly blessings, with more of you. As they take this big leap and give it to you, may they see heaven open up over them. Give them the courage to give it. Not reluctantly, not fearfully, not in bitterness, but with a measure of excitement they've never had. Let this gift be a key, O God, which opens not just a new room, but an entire new wing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.